You are listening to Mind Over Matters here on KEXP 90.3 FM Seattle. It is 7:30 and time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us this morning Miles Sundin, who is a crane electrician with the Port of Seattle, and Karen Zammit, who is with the Committee to Save King County Child Care Program. And they're both here to talk about LELO's Port Profits for Human Needs Program. Thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Let me start out and ask you, Miles. Monday is a big day for you in some ways. Can you tell us about that?
Well, Monday is the first day in 12 years that I won't be employed by the Port of Seattle. It's the day I'll get my layoff notice.
All right. And you, obviously, you work with the crane equipment down there. How is it that you're losing your job there?
That's a real long question, Mike. I'm losing the job through what we call privatization. The Port of Seattle has determined that they are going to turn over the operations and maintenance of the public's assets on the waterfront to private corporations, and specifically Stevedoring Services of America. They were the primary push for the privatization.
And when did you hear about this?
Well, it's been ongoing. You know, we heard rumors of it as far back as 1996. It became a hotter issue towards 1999, and a year ago is when they told us. It was a year ago, just before Christmas, they told us our jobs were gone.
All right, now, in this process, did you have any dialogue with your employers about this whole fiasco?
Oh, we had fiasco. We had continuous dialogue. We worked hard at cost-saving methods. We found different ways to save them money. They told us that we were costing them too much money. We actually worked with them and decided to send labor management teams to investigate other ports. Came back with the information, and it was really surprising that, you know, that all the information we found contradicted what they told us. They told us that only one union worked in every other port, and we have two unions that work together to maintain the cranes, and they work well together. And we found that along the coast that there was, you know, there were areas where one union worked and there were areas where two unions worked. And even if there was one union, they had specialized fields. So there'd be one union, but there'd be groups with specialized functions.
So they just wanted, one of the things they wanted was just one union?
Well, one of the things they said they wanted was one union, but nothing would satisfy what they wanted. You know, we made every effort to satisfy what they wanted. And as soon as we came close to it, they changed their needs. And it became obvious that saving money wasn't what they wanted. You know, what they wanted was to privatize and to give our jobs to the private corporations. They wanted what they said was out of the business. And it's kind of funny. We looked at the numbers, and they started off saying, well, you're costing us $500,000 too much a year. And then it was, well, it's $1 million. Well, it's $1.2 million. So we started investigating exactly, you know, how much money we were costing them. And so, you know, I'm a crew chief, and I have access to all their information on the hard drives and all their budget information. And I started looking, and I said, well, you know, we're not costing too much money. You know, the figures that they're giving are wrong. They're not only wrong, they know they're wrong. And we found letters, interdepartment letters, where they discussed the crane maintenance business as being a lucrative business, where they discussed that $750,000 profit going to corporate overhead, and we found it to be as high as $2 million a year going to corporate overhead that they were pulling out of the maintenance alone. So what we found was that what they're telling us wasn't the truth. We had the labor management team that went down to investigate other ports, and the report that came back said that we were right at a mid-level with other ports for cost. And when the information went out public, it was that we cost more than any other port. You know, the information that the managers put out, the staff put out, did not coincide with what the actual information was. It was kind of a misinformation program, and it was aimed at eliminating our jobs.
All right, so they're bringing this other company, Stevedoring Services?
Well, they originally intended to put Stevedoring Services of America on all terminals to do the maintenance. And they have competitors on the... They control the west side of the waterway, a huge expansion, $300 million expansion project that the port built for them. But they were going to have them do the maintenance for their competitors, too. And the competitors balked and refused to have that happen, even though the port staff told the commissioners that it was a done deal and they had all agreed to it. When they tried to put it in motion, it was a huge uproar on the docks. It came into longshore slowdowns. The tenants revolted, refused to take on the SSA's maintenance. It's a tremendous mess. So now the port is contracting out part of the work. Part of the work is going to SSA. Two different unions are coming in and taking our jobs, and most of us are on the streets.
All right. Now, at what point did you become involved with Lilo's program?
I'll tell you what, that's something that's close to my heart. I was working for a public entity that, when I started looking at it, we're spending billions of dollars, and they're taxpayer dollars. And they are also collecting money on tax levies from King County. And this year, I think it was $36 million they took from King County. So on my way to work, I work graveyards. I would step over people sleeping in the streets, you know, using concrete for pillows, sleeping in cars under the viaduct, you know, families under the cars. And I'm walking into this terminal that's worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars and watching billions of dollars of expansion going on. And I'm, you know, something didn't fit for me. And when I started looking into the figures and finding out how much the money was going to subsidize the corporations in the form of what I consider corporate welfare, it just kind of became overwhelming. And then I went to a commission meeting, a Port of Seattle commission meeting. It's held at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in a time that most people can't attend. And I went in there to voice my opinions about the privatization of my jobs. Went in there and we were voicing our opinion, and we were told by the commissioners that we were lucky that they allowed us in their building. And I went, wait a minute, this is a public building. You know, the Port of Seattle is a public entity. I said, in fact, the Port of Seattle was founded in 1911 to protect the public against private corporations. You know, and that was their charter, and that's what it was all based on. It was a progressive movement in Seattle to take back the control of the economy from the private corporations. They had a stranglehold on Seattle. And what we found is it's done a 180-degree turn. And now we have a set of commissioners that have turned down, and staff, Port of Seattle staff, that has turned this all around, and they've turned over the public's property back to the private corporations. And so I'm looking at this corporate welfare. I mean, billions of dollars worth of expansions and millions of dollars worth of gifts, and they're turning over our jobs, which is probably going to be $2 or $3 million worth of profit to that corporation every year. And well, there are people sleeping in the streets. And then that, you know, I during this campaign, I started running into people like Karen, you know, that's losing her child care, that has a child at home that she's going to have to be a latchkey child. And there's other people that have no method of taking care of their children. There's people starving. So we asked the port to help those people, too. You know, it became a change from a struggle just for my job to a struggle to make the port accountable to the people. And, you know, I feel in my heart they need to be accountable. And no matter how much we ask them what approach we take, they refuse. They refuse to help the public. They feel that they're a private corporation. I mean, they basically, their move is to be a private corporation, and they flat out refuse to even talk to us about their role as a public entity.
Karen, tell me about your situation. You are with the Committee to Save King County Child Care Program. How did you come to be on that committee?
Well, Mike, actually, my involvement with the port campaign is coming from a completely different angle than Miles is. However, it's still the same end result. Basically, my involvement is as a single mother, and I receive a child care subsidy from King County Child Care Program to help cover my daycare costs per month. I'm also a homeless families advocate. I was a member of the Homeless Child Care Needs Assessment Task Force. We went out and did a research project. We released it at the King County Executive's Office in February of 2000, and our findings were that child care costs, lack of quality, accessible, and affordable child care contributed to families being homeless in this region, naturally. So when I learned that due to the county's budget shortfall for the year 2001, that the King County Child Care Program was slated to be eliminated, I organized with a number of parents, child care providers, and other interested parties, and we started attending the County Council public budget hearings to testify that child care subsidies are very much needed. They're our safety net. They keep us afloat. And without the child care subsidies, that we will fall down, we will become homeless, and we'll end up costing the county more money. And in going to these public budget hearings, we started hearing about so many other human service agencies that are also facing being either cut or eliminated this coming year. We also learned about the PORT campaign, and the concept of that is that the county is approximately $41 million short in their budget this year. All human services are cutting at least, or facing at least a 10% cut across the board. This is just for 2001. It's projected for $65 million for next year, for 2002. And at the same time that this is occurring, the Port of Seattle has a $35.6 million levy against the county. So the concept is, let's try to work with the Port of Seattle, find out how much of that money is left for discretionary funds, particularly with the amounts of profit that they show on their revenue sheets on their website. And that number right there is definitely up for discussion. According to who interprets the numbers, they are posting a profit between $67 million and $120 million per year, at the same time that they're taking $35.6 million from the county. We would like for any of those funds that are still available that are not already sanctioned for other things in their budget to come back to the county to help cover this crisis situation with human services and human needs.
All right, and I know you guys have presented this to the port, and they have said no way.
They not only said no way, but, I mean, it was flatly no way. And in fact, in our we had an accountability hearing where we invited the commissioners to. They refused to come, and they sent a staff member. And he not only said no, he said, in some terms I can't use today, no.
He was very potty mouth.
It must be being so close down to the port.
In fact, he told us that the port profits for human needs people. He was asked by my son why he didn't have a sticker on, and would he like a port profits for human needs sticker? And he didn't realize that this was my son. And he said, no, I don't want one of those. And my son said, well, are you sure? They're very nice stickers, and I see you're the only man in this room that's not wearing one. And this Port of Seattle staff member, top staff member, not the top, but close to the top, said, it's because I'm the only person in this room with any brains. That was his feeling. And my son came and told me that. And I announced it to the room, and that staff member rushed out and started calling my son a liar. And he said, excuse me, sir. He said, I'm only 13 years old, but I have a 3.8 grade point average. And if you think I can't remember what you told me 2 minutes ago, one of us has a problem.
Now, the concept of a port giving money back to its surrounding community, there is a precedent for that. Is that correct?
There is a precedent in L.A. and in the ports in California gave back to the community. There's a difference between the setup there, you know, between the way the ports are chartered. But in the Port of Seattle's charter, in the state Constitution, there's a provision, I believe it's Article 8, Section 7, that allows the port to give money to the poor and indigent. So they're by state charter are allowed to give the money, although they deny it. You know, they say, oh no, we can't give any money back. You know, it'd be against the law. And then, you know, there's a lot of other ways they could do it. You know, I mean, all they would have had to say is, we would like to help the community. Not just a flat no.
As well as I imagine that the laws themselves can be modified. Yes.
The laws themselves can be modified, and we would love to see that. In fact, what we'd like to see, what we found is we found a Port of Seattle that has removed itself from the public. We found some ways to go about it. We thought, well, we can elect different commissioners. So we campaigned very hard last time, and we had one of the commissioners that was tied very tightly into the private corporations and helping to transfer our jobs to this private corporation, which he was employed by and was a commissioner at the same time. So the election process works, and your vote really counts. When you talk to the people out there, no one knows who the port commissioners are, but they control billions of our dollars. You know, and it's up to the public out there to inform themselves and to vote. There's another election coming up in 2 years, and we need the people to come out and vote in the candidates that will help. And we think there should be a full turnaround in that commission. We have Lawrence Malloy that was just elected, and he seems to be a shining star, and he may bring some honesty to the commission. The other option is that we've been discussing, and I think it's one of my personal favorites, and I think should happen, is the Port of Seattle should be assumed by King County. You know, if either the Port of Seattle is assumed by King County, which would remove all the redundant management, would remove all the redundant commission, would bring accountability. At this present time, there's no checks and balances to the Port of Seattle. They do exactly what they want. They're governed by commissioners that make $6,000 a year. They're there not for $6,000 a year. I mean, to pay someone $6,000 a year to govern a body, you know, a public entity that controls billions of dollars, just they're there for a reason. And, you know, when we talk to people, they say, well, the port did this, it seems really stupid. You know, and we talk to government officials, and they say, the port did this, and this seems really stupid. And we go, well, those people aren't stupid. They're doing it for a reason. You know, those people are doing it for a reason. And, you know, basically you have to follow the money. The other thing that we really need to look at when we're talking about assuming them by King County is right now, every single legislator, every single government official, every single reporter, Seattle Times, PI, are afraid of the Port of Seattle. And when you talk to an executive about the Port of Seattle, they go, oh, no, no, we can't touch that. You know, they control everything. They use our tax dollars. They spend millions of dollars in public relations and in government relations where they control the exact information that goes out. You know, we need accountability. We need something, I mean, drastic to happen to the Port of Seattle. Through this campaign, we've spent countless numbers of hours trying to talk to reporters. And we get a reporter on the hook, and he'll come along, and he's ready to go, and all of a sudden, bang, won't call you back. And we found out that the reason why is because the Port of Seattle controls the majority of the major media, and they tell them what to publish. And if they vary from that, they're gone. We researched several reporters that had exposés on the Port of Seattle. They never finished them. And when I contacted one of them for some information on freight mobility in the Seattle area, he said he couldn't comment, and he was gone. He had lost his position where he was, and he was off working in a small little news organization. Told me he couldn't give me any information at all. And it was a big blunder that the port had done with freight mobility issues with their Terminal 18 expansion, which was a multi-million dollar mistake.
Yeah, I'm sure it comes as no surprise to our listeners that the relationship between corporate media and large surrounding corporations is generally pretty tight.
Yeah, I kind of laugh at that when everybody says the liberal media. Yeah.
Karen, I want to get back to your story. When did you actually hear that the child care that you use, or is that in the past tense now, is going to be cut?
Actually, it is past tense. As of December 31st, there were whispers about it being cut as late as August of this last year. And at that point in time, the executive started preparing his budget and sent out letters to all of the incorporated cities asking them to support the subsidy program since it would be cut from the county level. Bellevue is the only city who has responded as far as supporting the subsidy programs. As of December 31st, there are 370 families, and that's not counting the number of children, 370 families who no longer receive child care subsidy. I know parents who have had to quit their jobs in the last week and a half because they had no place to put their children. I know parents who are considering quitting their jobs who just do not know what options are available to them. Myself, at this point in time, I'm okay. My daughter's old enough to be a latchkey kid. However, I don't trust my 9-year-old to be home alone for 10 hours a day while I go to work to pay the bills come the end of the school year. So that $600 a month for childcare, I don't know where that's going to come from, frankly. There are no other options. The only other childcare subsidy that exists besides the city of Seattle, which I don't live within, would be DSHS, and you need to be projected 200% of the poverty level, which is below my income. There's not a whole lot of families who actually qualify for that. So there are an awful lot of parents in our community who no longer have child care support and are going to fall down the hole. At the same time, there are so many other human service support agencies who are already maxed. There are food banks who can't provide. There are shelters who can't provide. There are domestic violence shelters that have to turn people away. The Teen Crisis Center has been closed down. The North Shore Senior Services Agency, I know I'm not getting the name correctly, the Asian and Pacific organization, I should have all this stuff in front of me. There are just so many services, and during this time of layoffs and rent is increasing 7.4%, the recession, it's insane. People's needs are increasing, and the Human Service Support Agency's ability to address those needs is decreasing. The funds are being taken away, and it's looking worse for next year. Even on a state level, everything is being cut. So any possible opportunity to get some funds to come back to help the people is the way to go.
You know, and Karen, that's so sad because in my investigations and looking at what the port spends, I looked at last year they spent $750,000 on travel. $750,000 on travel. $660,000 on club memberships. They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on food, on banquets, on catered lunches, on catered lunches for government officials, catered lunches for the press. I have a friend that I met through this that's also a low-income person looking for, you know, some real help, has some real needs. And she walked into the Port of Seattle building and she said, I've been into every other state building and King County building. And she said, you know, there are buildings and office buildings. And I walk into the Port of Seattle and it drips. It reeks of wealth. It just reeks of wealth. The CEO spent $25,000 to have a Japanese garden built outside his office. $25,000. Now, Karen, how much child care would that pay for you?
At least an entire year.
You just look at it. Maybe if they just gave us their travel budget and stayed home for a year, maybe that would help a little bit. I mean, I'm sure that they could find it within their heart to help the poor people a little bit, the little people. And, you know, I'm sorry that not everyone is in the same situation that they are, but these people need help, and they need help, and the people of King County and the state of Washington need honesty from the port. They need honesty, they need accountability, and we need to demand that. I have a couple telephone numbers here that I'd like to add. Can I add?
Please do.
Okay, Mike. The first one I'm going to give you is something that I think every person out there should call and demand accountability for, and that's the Port Commissioner's Office. It's 206-728-3034. So 206-728-3034. You need to call and demand accountability. The second is for Port Profits for Human Needs, and that's through LELO, and it's 206-568-1781. So it's 206-568-1781 or www.lelo.org. And we urge the people to call Lilo and join in our campaign. The more people we bring in, the more we can bring accountability to the port, and they need it. They need it drastically.
As well as I understand, Lilo's campaign has several different, I don't know if demands is the right word, but
there is an goals. Open letter that is located on the website, www.lilo.org, and it has a list of our requests and demands directed to the port commissioners, and it has close to 200 signers on at this point. Everything from our state representatives, county council members, City of Seattle council members, a variety of coalitions, human service providers, and independent parties who are interested in this campaign. And the campaign is indeed three tiers. We're concentrating on the Port Profits for Human Needs at this point, but it does consist of no privatization, no layoffs, and then the Port Profits for Human Needs. And there is just a slew of background history and facts on the website, or you can once again call Lilo 206-568-1781.
All right. We only have a couple minutes left, and so I kind of want to ask you both, you know, where do you go from here? Because it doesn't seem it doesn't seem real positive on some levels.
Well, it does seem positive. We have a tremendous groundswell of grassroots people that are joining us to carry this fight on. I've lost my job, but I've not given up on the people. I used to introduce myself as, hey, I'm the guy here that's fighting for my job. Well, I'm not fighting for my job anymore. I'm fighting for what's right. And what's right is accountability with the Port of Seattle. And I wanted to tell you the thing that that brought me to activism, and that was going to those commissioners' meetings and meeting with the port staff and seeing their books. And in my meeting with the port commissioners, I was met with such arrogance that it has left a taste in my mouth that I will never get out. I'll take it to my grave, that taste of arrogance that I felt with the port. And that's all I can say. So I'm in this fight for the long run. There's a lot of people joining us. We hope to see a lot more people and organizations joining us. Let's bring accountability to the Port of Seattle. Thank you.
And Karen, where do you go from here?
Well, we're still trying to work to get... There were some funds that were reinstated for the child care program. However, there were stipulations put on that funding that at this point basically makes it inaccessible. The end result is the same. Our child care subsidies have been lost, and we working parents are trying to figure out how to make all ends meet. So we're working on that, and at the same time, we are joining forces with the port campaign. So onwards and upwards.
All right. In the effort to get the port to turn over some of that profit that they make on a yearly basis and give it back to the people of Seattle, or people of King County, I'm sorry.
It just makes sense. That the money came from us. We're in need. It should come back to us.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's just not that tax money. You know, when we asked the port about the money, they said, absolutely, none of the tax, your tax money is spent on our operations. And I said, excuse me. I said, did you know that all your money is our money? You know, that's our money, not your money. This is the public money. People don't understand that, you know, the port's a public entity. Every dime is public money. Those people, the staff members, you know, the CEO of the Port of Seattle is one of the highest paid state employees there are. He gets $250,000 or $280,000 a year, $50,000 into deferred comp, which means it's tax-free every year. He gets benefit after benefit, dollar-for-dollar contributions on his own. That he gives a dollar, the port gives him a dollar. I mean, one of the highest-paid executives there are. We looked at his office expenditures for his payroll and stuff, and I think it was close to $600,000.
So there's plenty of money to be had. So.
Oh, there's a tremendous amount of money.
All right. Real quickly, can you give the phone number again for people getting in contact with Lilo in this campaign?
The Port Profits for Human Needs telephone number is 206-568-1781 or www.lelo.org.
All right. Well, with that, we are unfortunately out of time, so I want to thank you both for coming in this morning. Well,
thanks, Mike, and thanks to everybody out there listening. And hey, join with us. Let's bring some accountability to the Port of Seattle and see if they can help our community like they're chartered to.
All right. We've just been talking with Miles Sundin, who is a crane electrician with the Port of Seattle, and Karen Zammit, who is with the Committee to Save King County Child Care Program.